Welcome to the Tradition Never Graduates podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Bergink, superintendent of the Usburg School District. Our schools have a long tradition of excellence in academics, athletics, and the arts. The goal of this podcast is to connect our listeners with that tradition through stories about our past, present, and future. In episode 5, we continue our discussions with special guests that have a unique insight and perspective into what makes Usburg a special place to raise a family. Chris and Steve Rogers share a perspective which includes Chris's Hingham School memories as both a student and a teacher, as well as both of their reflections on our wrestling family and what it means to raise their sons in the Usburg School District. Thanks for tuning in. Welcome, Steve and Chris. Thank you for being a part of our podcast series.
Thank you for
having us. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's good to see both of you. So many of our listeners know you both well, either as part of the elementary school or the wrestling family. Give us a little update on what's been happening in your lives since Chris's retirement.
Well, I love not having a schedule. I'm able to do the things that I've always wanted to do, and especially during the fall when the weather is beautiful, just to spend time outdoors and go up to the cabin a little more frequently and for longer stays. I'm enjoying our grandson and just spending time with my mom through her illness and then being with my dad and our family.
Yeah, so it's been really good. My job's always been pretty flexible, so I can take time to spend time with Chris. So it's been really good. Very enjoyable.
How many years How many years did you teach Chris? 33 years. So what's been the biggest adjustment in retirement besides enjoying that beautiful fall weather?
I guess you miss the people. I miss seeing the kids and being with them, and you know, just some days I'm like, okay, here I am alone again. So you get, you know, some of that lonely feeling once in a while. But for the most part, I can't complain. I've enjoyed it a lot.
Good. So if I understand correctly, there were many reasons I was excited to have you joining our podcast, just to be able to connect and talk a little bit. But also you have, Chris, a connection with Hingham School.
Yeah.
As one of, if I understand, the last group that had taught in that school.
Yes.
Can you share a little background? I mean, I think our audience would really be interested. Many of them probably don't even remember. And those that do, it'll bring back some neat memories of that time in Hingham. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, first of all, I was a student there and also went to Gibbsville for third and fourth grade. So those were, as I always call them, the golden years. I love those years. And Hingham just always had a special place in my heart growing up there. And my mom worked there for many years as the recess lady / lunch lady / teacher's aide.
Really?
She had a few hours. Yeah, okay. I think about 16 years. So she started, I was still there when she was she was there a little bit. And then she left the position the year I graduated from college. So we always had a connection. And in those days, bulletin boards and things were big. So Mrs. Wallace and Mrs. Rosso would send home things and my sister and I would color and use the smelly scenty markers to color. And we just had a lot of great memories there. And to be hired in the position that my second grade teacher had was just a thrill to me. It was one of those just really special situations where I feel one of the reasons I maybe got the job too was because I was so familiar with the school and the concept of just two teachers out there by themselves.
Sure.
I also just had that interview with Mr. Shawl and Mr. Grotius, and they drove me out to Hingham to see it. And I knew, you know, and hoped that would be a place that I could teach. So it was just Mrs. Wallace and I. She taught first grade. I taught second grade. We did have our teacher's aide there for maybe 3 or 4 hours during the day, but Mrs. Wallace came and unlocked the doors in the morning, turned the heater on. Sure. If the phone rang, she ran from her classroom to the office to get it. It was just really a neat situation. And one of the nicest things was having the students in second grade after knowing them for a year in first grade. We were out for recesses every day. So you really got to know the students too. A big highlight was when the bookmobile came. That was our library other than the rolling cart in our room. Mm-hmm. And we did have all the specialists come out. Scott Gripping was hired the same year as I was as a phi ed teacher. So he did our gym classes, usually outside because the gym was a classroom based, you know, that size. Music was also in that room. So Mrs. Wallace would set up the chairs and take them down when and roll the piano out so they could have music. Art, I believe, was in our classrooms. I really can't remember everything anymore. They put lunch tables in the hallway and they either gave the styrofoam tray with the cold food in and the hot was served, or they put the hot food in it and the cold was served.
So there was hot lunch? Did they deliver it?
Andy Smith brought it out every day.
No kidding.
And that was our one, contact every day with transportation back and forth. So if we had something that had to go into town, it had to be there when Andy came. And
there's probably some really good Andy Smith stories.
Oh, yeah. You gotta love Andy. And absolutely. Yeah. So it was just really unique. We walked up and down and squirted peanut butter on their bread.
Sure.
We did everything there, and it was just a real special place. Mr. Shaw would come on Friday mornings, or Ed Grotius when he became principal, to, check on us, make sure everything was going okay, and we rang the bell behind the door. I don't know. I saw a couple comments on Facebook just recently about what you'd like to do at recess, and some Hingham kids said, oh, remember the leaf houses we'd made, and we got to toboggan down the hills. Mrs. Wallace would bring these little roll-up toboggans, and one at a time they could go. Mm-hmm. Just things mm-hmm. that couldn't happen in a bigger school. Right. And we probably had, 35 to 40 students there at a time. So it was great.
Those are some of the favorite memories there, to hear the stories about the UE and then also to hear about Hingham. We'll have to see if we can find some staff that taught at Gibbsville. I have no background.
Dale
there.
Roarding?
Yep. Dale taught there.
Yeah, he used to, he was our bus driver too, so he'd bring the Gibbsville kids to Hingham. The Hingham kids would ride back to Gibbsville. He'd park the bus and teach.
Well, he must have started teaching when he's 10 because he's still our bus driver.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he was one of my teachers there.
Oh. I think about Hingham relatively frequently. So our life group through church meets at the Ring House, and they're right across the street from the playground, or what was the playground.
That was our playground way down there.
Now there's campers and things parked on it, mm-hmm. and the grass is overgrown, but you look there and it takes you back in time.
Yeah. We just had a huge playground, and I remember that as a child too, just the fun times we had on that playground.
Sure. Absolutely. I actually did have a little bit of experience. I student taught in Oostburg, and then after I completed my student teaching, I subbed for a semester. And I remember going out to Hingham for, I think it may have been gym class, so I may have been subbing for Scott Gripping. I'm
that
not
could
sure.
be. I was probably there that day.
Yeah, I remember once or twice that I was able to go out there. And as I say, as a person who's just on the outskirts, Hingham really is the center of the universe.
It is. And we were just open for 3 years before they closed the school and we moved into Oostburg. So they were just special years.
Yeah. And what was I'm assuming it was financial or age of the facility. What was the transition like?
Especially for Mrs. Wallace. Sure. It was just very difficult after she basically ran the school. I mean, burned the garbage at the end of the day, everything.
Right.
And then just to come in with that many teachers and mm-hmm. staff members, it was hard. For me, I was only there through April, and then we had our first child. So it was very different though.
Really neat memories. How about on the wrestling front? How many years, Steve, did you coach wrestling?
I coached the varsity level for 28 years. And I'm not sure how long I was with the kids program before that, maybe two or three, maybe a little longer, I'm not sure. But the years kind of all squished together, so it's kind of hard to remember for sure. But I know I was the varsity coach 28 years here. So
the year we started dating, he took over the head coaching job, so I got a
Chris
quick
got a
education
crash course in wrestling.
Well, and you're still involved in helping out. I see both of you around supporting Zach, and that's so. Who are your coaches? Your wrestling coaches?
When I wrestled?
When you wrestled?
Jim Justice and Steve Dolmas.
Really? Yes. I guess I didn't know that Steve was a wrestling coach as
Yes, and then we had Mike Guile, but Jim Justice was our head coach throughout my wrestling career. Okay. And then I took over for him when he retired.
Okay. So when Jim stepped away, you stepped in, what, and that would have been what year? I'm really putting you on the spot with details here.
I think we decided 87.
Yeah, I think it was about 87, 88, somewhere in that time frame. Yep. Okay.
So how about just favorite memories? I know that's difficult as someone who coaches myself, but are there things that stand out?
Yeah, I have a lot of really, really good memories. A lot of them are kids. A couple of them, though, stay pretty close to me. We had went through a few things like you always do. You kind of become a family when you spend that much time together. So you get involved in their personal lives, which sometimes is good, sometimes not so good. But a couple of them that stand out is different athletes that lost their parents and the whole team would work together as a family to help them through it.
Sure.
Those were some of the neatest times I thought in my life. And Chris knows because she was right alongside me. Those were some pretty special times. And the just having good quality kids and being able to compete was pretty neat. I think back and I think of the state champions that we had and the getting to that point, always thinking, man, are we ever going to get to that point? And then you finally get to that point and you think, that's kind of neat, but there's other things that are more important and that always took over. And that's what I liked about it.
Mm-hmm. Sure. I think when, again, going back to when I student taught here, if I remember right, wrestling was in the cafeteria, right? You rolled up your mats along the south window so that we could eat lunch in there.
Yes. Yes. We started in there and that was quite interesting, but it worked out. And then we ended up in the, when we had our own area up in the elementary school in the, middle school in the balcony, that was, those were some really, there's practices that stand out in my mind that I kind of giggle about, but it was close. I had intense kids and we never had anybody go over the top of the balcony, but we were very close one night.
For those of you that don't know the space we're talking about, it's now our middle school youth center, and there's actually a glass wall up that provides a little buffer, but
it wasn't always there.
Right, exactly. It was kind of a low railing, right?
Yes. At that time, it was a low railing, and I won't mention the two guys' names, but I'm trying to think who was coaching with me at the time. Might have even, not my brother Tom.
Jason? I think,
it might have been before, might have been Ron. But we had to grab them and keep them in the room and then separate them.
Well, so many good memories. I mean, you were up there with wrestling practices also when I was coaching and we had basketball practice in the middle school. And that really brings to mind one of the, there are many things about Oostburg that I'm grateful for. One of them is that in many schools, it seems like there's a little bit of a, there can be a tension between basketball and wrestling programs. And in Oostburg, that never was the case.
I feel 100% the same way. It was actually really neat because if I had questions or wondered about things, I could go to you. I remember talking to you quite often. Tom DePachter, John Moriarty mentored me a lot. And that was the nice thing about being kind of in the same facility because you could kind of pick each other's brains and help each other out and work as a team.
Right.
And that's what, those are the things that I miss. I don't miss the politics of the way sports, I feel, might be becoming. But I do miss the relationship and the kids. That was a lot of fun.
Well, I really remain thankful for the foundation. I think about people like you and like John Moriarty, who really set an expectation of how we work together as a team. I remember him telling a story about bringing, I think he brought his entire basketball team to watch Peter.
He did. They all sat in the bleachers, and I asked him afterwards, I said, that was really nice that you came. And he said, well, it wasn't only to watch the wrestling. I wanted them to watch Peter's intensity because I want us to get a little bit more of that on the basketball court. And it was just interesting to me. I'm like, oh, that's pretty neat. But there were a lot of things. I would listen to John Moriarty coach, and you could learn a lot in a night when you could hear him talk because he was just a very positive motivator. Mm-hmm. And those are some of the things that I tried to pick up on. And I look back at that stuff and I can't, it seems so long at the time, but man, it went quite fast.
It brings me back in time just talking about that, back into my subbing at Hingham or mm-hmm. to basketball practices in the middle school when you guys were up in the, yes. in the upstairs in the wrestling room. So mm-hmm. we're thrilled if we think about, from my perspective, working to carry on some of those foundational, just how you treat people mm-hmm. realities that people like you and John set in place and many others. Mm-hmm. Was able to watch the football game in the booth with Jerry Colbeck the other night. And you know, just so many things that are enjoyable to talk about. Mm-hmm. And when we think about the future in this podcast, we're thrilled that Zach has decided to take over the wrestling program. And Chris, one of the things I see so clearly in our wrestling program is it really is a family effort. I don't think there was a tournament or a wrestling event when I came to watch when I didn't see you running around helping out. And now I see Kelly helping out Zach in the same way. I see your grandson, Benaiah, growing up around our wrestling program, just like my girls grew up around the basketball program. What's that been like for you as parents?
Well, I'm just really proud to see Zach as a teacher and as a coach. I feel like he's taken on a little from each of us.
Yeah, he has. And it is really neat to see and to stand back and watch. And he'll come for advice. I hear him talking to Chris about teaching quite often. And he'll come to me about different things with the wrestling. And it's fun. It's fun to listen. If he asks for a little advice, you give him a little. But he's got a good head on his shoulders. And that way I'm really proud of him because he feels, and I don't know if it came through Chris and I or a lot on his own, but he feels the same way that it's not just the wrestling. It's how these kids turn out. And that's what I'm so proud of, that he's carrying on that tradition, that it is a family and that you take care of each other. And I think that's really important, especially mm-hmm. in this day and age.
Absolutely. So. Yeah.
And I think Benaiah's favorite activity now is pretending he's a wrestler. He'll run around going two and reversal and Rigo Nash Connor. He talks about the guy.
Yeah.
He loves it already too, which yeah. is really neat because Zach grew up with it exactly yeah. the same way.
Sure.
And you know, as I do, Kevin, it's a great way for kids to grow up because yeah. your daughters grew up with it.
Right.
Our boys did. And it teaches them a lot of good quality lessons.
Well, and it's a reminder of the quality of young people that we get to work with, right? The, mm-hmm. the reality that I was comfortable with my daughters in the back of a basketball bus with a bunch of teenagers, because you knew they were, right. they're just solid guys.
Yes. Right?
And yeah.
And I out in the work world have to defend them a lot because there's so many people that say, oh, the younger kids don't know how to work. They don't know how to do this. They can't do that. And I always say, oh, I have a great work crew and a lot of them come from the Oostburg High School, actually 99% of them, and they're very good workers. I've had wrestlers that if I called them up today would come and help Chris and I in a matter of minutes. So there's a lot of really, really good young people. And I wish people would realize that it's not all gloom and doom. There's a lot of good young guys and girls.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more. And you had mentioned earlier that it has been easy, and you and I have actually talked about this, it's easy to get frustrated by some of the things we see in athletics. And,
yes.
and the last few years have provided an opportunity for me to see it from the standpoint of how important it is to have kids fully present. You know, they're so drawn to their phones and technology mm-hmm. or video games. But when they're on the wrestling mat or when they're on the basketball court, they need to be fully engaged with what's happening and their focus helps determine their success. I think that's, or whether it's on the stage in a mm-hmm. play, you know, you're cueing off the other people on that stage. So all of those extracurricular things, I've really been re-energized about how important they are.
I totally agree. And I hope that does stay in the high school, with the high school, not that we end up with sports clubs. That always makes me a little nervous because I think the sports have a lot to teach kids as well as the classroom. I think that's important.
And the arts.
Yes. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. Totally. Well, and I agree because we see declining participation rates in many, if not a majority of schools in Wisconsin. And we mm-hmm. have been an outlier that we've had the opposite. Actually, last year we had just under 70% of our students were involved in extracurriculars. A large number were involved in both a theater or music performance as well as athletics, which is another cool thing for a small school.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
You know, I think about Jesse's gifts in the arts and his ability to wrestle and mm-hmm. be involved in those things. That was near and dear to me too. So
yeah,
those are special things. You know, you had mentioned listening to John at times when he was coaching. I find myself doing that, coming back full circle to Zach. Zach has a calmness and a directness about him that I really respect. So being able to watch him work with young people, it's not surprising at all that the wrestling program is really in such a good position and that young people are drawn. And it's neat because they're drawn into the wrestling program or other programs where expectations are high. They're going to be expected to work.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be expected to treat people well. And they're held accountable for those things, and they want that.
Yeah, and that's important.
Yeah, yeah. One, I think it really is a credit to the guys that are involved in leading that program now. So that's really neat to watch and to support them. So
yeah,
we have a large number of families that open enroll into Oostburg, and when we think about that, what are the things that you appreciate most about our school and community, which may be attractive to parents? Maybe they're listening to our podcast and they're looking for, I mean, the reality is that families have a lot more options now. And, you know, we think this is a pretty good place. What are the things that you've appreciated most as parents, as community members, that you hope that we continue that might be attractive to people who are looking for a place where their kids can get educated?
Well, I think the involvement in our schools by the families is so important. I mean, just you go to any event and you'll see the gym full or the classrooms full. If we're giving a little play in the classroom, they'll take the time to take off of work and come and see their children and support them. And it's just, it is a big family. The teachers really do care about the students they teach. It's they become your kids.
Sure.
There's a few that you wish you could take home with you every night. You know, it's truly a special place that way. And I was fortunate to teach my whole career in Oostburg, so I don't know what it's like out there, but I just know we really do care.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and to kind of bounce back what Chris said, I totally agree with her. It's a great place to have your kids come to school. We were lucky that Zach and Jesse could both go to school here all the way through, participate in sports, participate in music and the plays, and always have that opportunity. Because a lot of schools, whether being too big or I hear different things from other people, and I'm like, oh, that's not that way here. They're all, they all have the opportunity to compete and to try different things, and that's what I think is really important. And I think mm-hmm. we're really lucky because we do have I know our coaches all care about the kids and the teachers. I've had great relationship with the teachers when I coached. We all had the same thing in mind, the best thing for the kids. And I think that's really a big selling point. We're with a lot of people that really care.
Absolutely. I think about, I get the opportunity every now and then to be down in the elementary school and walking by the classroom and seeing Zach and reflecting on the number of young people like Zach who went to school here and cared about this place enough that they wanted to come back and teach here.
Mm-hmm.
Right. How many are any of your former students?
Just Jeff. Jeff Vasco.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
He was in my second grade class. And
sure.
It was nice when she was first hired here as an interventionist. I got to work with her, and we kind of laugh about how many things are the same between the two of us.
Right.
It's like, I feel like that too. Or, you
right.
know?
Yep.
So it was really fun to have her back, and just kids that I knew from school or church that,
right.
that are back in Newburgh. It's,
right.
it's pretty special. I remember that when I was hired, just looking out at those introduction breakfasts, and I'm like, oh, those are all my teachers. It was a little intimidating. And Larry Novice telling me, you can call me Larry. You don't have to call me Mr. Novice anymore. Which I still call him Mr. Novice when I see him.
That's so true. I don't have the list in front of me, but the number of Newburgh graduates who are now in various roles mm-hmm. here is something we don't want to take for granted. And we have a great mix. We've been blessed by people that, you know, didn't go to Newburgh schools and are now doing just right. a fantastic job. But it certainly is something that when you see people who have, you know, they were here for 12 years of education. Those of you that are listening to the podcast, you can't see them, but Lucas Allen is right across the desk doing some of the recording. There's a former biology student of mine. The fact that you didn't go into biology, Lucas, I'm not sure, but it really is. You know, and as we get to this point in our career, reflecting on those things, mm-hmm. and in the moment, we may not realize all the blessings of just walking through all those seasons, the tough ones and the wonderful ones.
Right. I think that was special too, just over the years, having students that are the children of former
sure.
students
yep.
and just seeing them. And it's like, oh, you remind me just of your mom or your dad. And that was just special too.
Mm-hmm. Well, other things that our audience might be interested in hearing about or knowing about, those were a couple of the things that I wanted to make sure we talked about. Hingham School for sure. But other things that our guests may be interested in.
One thing that I think is kind of interesting just from getting Zach and I are quite close, but I think it's kind of neat because I always hear him talking about his teaching team in third grade. I can't think of the two
Jordan
names.
Jordan and Beth.
But the way those three care about each other, I don't know about other teachers and their teams, but I think that is really cool, the relationship that they have together. And I think I don't have a kid in their classroom, but I think those got to be pretty neat classrooms because those three work hard together and really care about each other. And I think that's really neat when you can sit back and see that.
And I think most teams do get close like that. Just, I mean, Andre Kolbeck was teaching when I started, and we still go out for lunch every couple months
sure.
or just to have those connections because you do work closely with those
right.
people every day. And yeah, I think that is a special thing too, just to get close with your team. And
yeah. And one other thing that Kelly, Zach's wife, and I notice, it happens every time we drive up north. When Chris was teaching and Zach was teaching in the same school, they talk about shop the entire ride, all the way up there. And Kelly and I kind of roll our eyes. Is this going to end? But then I think, boy, that is really neat that they can share that together and how much they care about their classrooms and sharing different ideas. But we've listened to it for years, and it's kind of neat.
Well, we listened to plenty of wrestling talk, too. So
probably a yes. few hunting stories on those
yeah.
trips, too.
Yeah. Yes.
Absolutely. So, well, and Chris, I understand you're continuing. You haven't completely stepped away from education in terms of with Jesse leading the library in town.
Mm-hmm.
That's been really neat to see his passion about that area. And as I follow the newsletters that Jesse puts out, oftentimes there's either a photo or a picture of how mom's helping out in this program or that program. Talk to us just a little bit about how that experience has been for you.
Well, I'm thrilled that he's in that role. He just has always been an avid reader and loves the library. And I joined the Friends of the Library, but I just enjoy being there too and helping out if I can. So
sure.
I just helped with like summer reading sign up, and I've been stamping books with the discarded stamp and
okay. sure.
taking barcode labels off. And it's just something to do to volunteer. And I enjoy books almost not as much as he does, but almost as much as he does. So he gives me some, you know, pictures like, here, mom, you've got to read this one. So it's been getting me into reading more and more, too.
Well, I think about the time, I mean, you were pretty involved with TYA, Theater for
yes.
Young Audience,
yes.
being involved and your family painting together, working in wrestling mm-hmm. opportunities together, now the library and also the wrestling program. That's pretty neat. Our library, I hope our audience recognizes what a treasure that is in a small community to mm-hmm. have such an active public library. There's, on a side note, professionally, there's probably nothing that I read more frequently than how important reading is. It's just the center of learning.
It is.
And for all of the areas of focus, mm-hmm. literacy is and needs to be just a top priority. So when we have a library that's vibrant, that's certainly mm-hmm. something to continue. And I hope our community keeps supporting that like they have our schools.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And just having the classes visit the library.
Sure.
At the end of the year, the middle school students were even coming over for tours with,
right.
with Jamie. And yeah, it's great just to get them involved and see what's out there for them to read. A lot right. of people are like, oh, you know, what's in the library? But there's so much more than books.
Right. Well, and you bring up a good point. The partnership, I think some right. may think, well, Oostburg Christian School has a library, Oostburg Public School has libraries in their buildings. Why do we need that? They complement one another. Oh. The partnership between our public library and how we complement and work together, how they support our work here, it really is a win-win. So, well,
and just being able to get collections of books from right. the whole Monarch system. There's sure. so many books out there when you're studying a particular topic, and the classroom visits, our second graders always just loved that when it was library day and they could listen to a couple stories and check out books at the library. So yeah, it's a great partnership.
Well, I'm very thankful for our friendship, the opportunities that I've had to learn from both of you over the years. Thankful that your kids are so engaged in following your example and serving in similar ways and impacting our community, and really wish you continued happiness and enjoyment as you spend time with grandkids. And I imagine hunting season's right around the corner, so you won't see Chris quite as much.
Saturday.
Okay.
Now I can go along. I'm yes, not always there stuck you go. At home.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So that but works really out better.
Appreciate both of you and for spending some time with us today.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah. Many organizations toss the word family around to describe their culture. Chris and Steve remind us of the many literal examples of family investing in our students, staff, and school community. Their specific family legacy continues as Jesse directs our public library and their son Zach teaches third grade and leads our wrestling program. There's something to be said about generations following in the servant-grounded footprints of their parents. We're thankful for the Rogers family and their contribution to a tradition which never graduates.